Kane is in the building.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's top five, bottom five, where we give you our best and worst of the NFL. Week six is in the books, and we do the top teams from five all the way to number one. Let's start with number five, Mr. Culver. I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers. The team last night had beat the Detroit Lions to go to 5-1. Yes, they got a lot of help from the officiating, but Aaron Rodgers being Aaron Rodgers without Devontae Adams was impressive, to say the least. So I'm going to go with the Packers at number five.
Okay. Number five for me, this might be a little controversial.
Okay.
I'm putting the Chiefs.
All right. Keeping them around.
I'm keeping them in the top five. But Patrick Mahomes maybe needs to sit down a game. Maybe that bye week can't come fast enough for him.
I agree.
There is definitely something going on where he isn't able to be full Patrick Mahomes.
But still a very dangerous team.
Dangerous team, but they've been dropping it a little too much lately.
Yeah. All right, number four, that's where I put the Seattle Seahawks. Really, really like the Seahawks. Again, a road win against Cleveland, coupled with the Thursday night win against the Rams. They got their, trying to win the division where San Francisco is unbeaten. Russell Wilson, MVP. You've heard that many, many times already, but I like what the Seahawks are doing at 5-1. I put them at number four.
All right, well, one of the other undefeated team in the league right now, that's where I put the Niners.
The Niners,
I think the Niners are doing fantastic right now. Impressed with everything that's happening with them. Last week I had them at five. This week I'm putting them at four. They're slowly creeping on me. They're growing on me. I still don't know enough about them, though. That's the only issue.
That's a thing, right?
I still don't know that much about them, but all I know is that they just keep finding ways to win.
That's where I put San Francisco at number three, and they are, again, unbeaten at, 5-0 and top of the NFC West, which is... with the Rams losing three in a row, it's not as competitive as it could be, but the Rams are still a very threatening football team. It's a very good division right now with Arizona kind of at the bottom, but I'm with you on the 49ers. Yet to really know them, but these are two really good back-to-back wins. A Monday night game against Cleveland in which we thought, what could the Browns bring? And they dominated that game.
Yep.
And then going to L.A., a Rams team that was desperate. Again, no Todd Gurley, but still desperate to not lose three in a row. And they took care of business down there in another dominating fashion. Their defense is very good, only allowing about 13 points per game. They're putting up nearly 30. But 5-0, I got them at number three.
Yeah, and it just feels weird that we just don't know. I mean, it's a weird feeling. We just don't know enough about them.
Yeah, it's not like Jimmy Garoppolo's lighting up the league or anything like that. We're not getting those kind of feelings. We're a very, very defensive-oriented team.
I mean, I'm blanking on the running back's name. I know it's Breyer or Breyer.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Breyer?
Yeah, Mike Matt Breida.
Breida.
Yeah.
I mean, he's doing fantastic work, but again, he's not, he's just not bringing, I guess he's not a huge name yet.
Yeah.
There's a lot of components that are working well for them, but no one, they're working together well. There's no one standing out.
That's right, but still.
Except Nick Bosa will be Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Right. That's true. That is very true. So yeah, number three for you?
Number three for me, this is where I had the Saints. It's amazing to me. The team itself is really, really good. The fact that they can lose their Pro Bowl Hall of Fame quarterback to an injury, and your hope was for to get a split while he was out. Teddy Bridgewater is just completely in control. I mean, the game on Sunday wasn't a perfect game by any stretch of the means, but they played well enough, and Teddy Bridgewater is still undefeated, being the starting quarterback of the Saints. Plus, doesn't hurt to have the Pope tweet you out.
Of course.
So
to give the Pope some credit on this.
It's a divine thing for them to be at number three.
Yeah, I actually have the Saints at number two because I think this is one of Sean Payton's best coaching jobs. I agree with a lot of people who are pointing this out with Teddy Bridgewater. Look, it was not looking good. Let's go back to week two, the game against the Rams in which Breeze got hurt and Bridgewater came in. And he did not put the Saints in the end zone at all. Then you look at the schedule for New Orleans at that moment. Okay, it's a road game against Seattle that looks pretty good early. Dallas looked really good early. That was on the schedule. Okay, right. And then maybe Buccaneers and the Jags are manageable. Oh, let's see if we can just split those two games. Well, Bridgewater's won all four of them, filling in for Breeze. And you're right. While the offense isn't popping because Breeze is not under center, that's not my expectation with Teddy Bridgewater. What I would expect the Saints to do is play good defense, and they're playing really good defense. Let Bridgewater do what he does best. Let Taysom Hill do what he does best. Let, you know, everybody else on the offense try to put some points up. But the defense hold on, and the defense has. I think this is great. I can't wait for Breeze to come back. But until then, Teddy Bridgewater has been a great story for the league and the Saints.
Yeah, you almost one of those feelings where do you want him to come back?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Breeze, take your time. Make sure that thumb is 100% healed.
Yeah, don't come back at 70% and get it hurt again. Yep. when the push comes to shove and you really are going towards the end.
And what a great situation from the BM, because he'll be fresh. He'll be, you know, he hasn't thrown. He's ready to throw 4,000 yards per game.
Yeah, he's going to be really, really sharp when he gets back.
And that's going to be extremely dangerous for anyone in the league.
Yeah. And go ahead.
I was going to just give you my number two, but go ahead.
Go ahead.
Number two for me. I put the Texans.
The Texans make the top
Texans
five.
In there.
All right.
You know what? They're 4-2 right now, but they've had some really impressive wins the last couple of weeks.
Roughed up Atlanta and won on the road.
Yeah, what they did against the Chiefs really surprised me.
Me too.
This team, I mean, maybe it is a little too high. Maybe I'm drinking too much of the Texan Kool-Aid. But I was really impressed with how well they played against the Chiefs. I mean, yeah, maybe they went up against a hobbled Patrick Mahomes. But still, you got to go up against that Chiefs defense. You got to make plays. And they were able to make plays and go with them toe for toe all the way through and get the win in Arrowhead.
They may not be in my top five, but I get where you're going with that. That they're quietly
too high,
but should be getting some noise.
But. Yeah, it might be a little too high, but you know, like we were talking about yesterday with the, you know, they're reminding me of the Chargers, where the Chargers just flew under the radar the entire time.
Yep, just kept winning and winning and winning.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, the number one team I think for both of us is still the New England Patriots.
You can't do anything wrong when you're on a bye week.
The Patriots offense has been slowed down. It doesn't look as sharp, but it's still good enough. They're 6-0. They'll play the Jets. They've got the Browns. Then they'll have a tough game on the road at Baltimore. But this schedule isn't really all that daunting, but it doesn't matter. The Patriots are still good. That when they play well. Yes, you can nitpick a lot of things about the Patriots, and people like to do that. But nevertheless, this is one of the top defenses, if not the top defense in the NFL. They're only allowing 8 points a game. I don't care who you play in the NFL. If you're only allowing 8 points a game, that's a phenomenal effort. You can play the Dolphins and the Jets, and you can do all those. But the reality of it is 8 points a game is very, very low in the National Football League.
It's borderline ridiculous at this
point. It
is
ridiculous.
It's really just, I mean, it's bad enough that, you know, they have an offense where it's a plug-and-play offense. It doesn't matter who Brady's throwing to. You just, you know, you throw a receiver in there, the receiver's going to make some noise. And each week, it's somebody different. That is so hard to coach against. And I think that's part of the brilliance of Belichick is that you don't know. You can go ahead and double-team Edelman. He'll throw it to James White. Oh, James White, you guys are going to cover him? Well, then, you know, Sony Michel goes off. There's no rhyme or reason to how you can defend against this team. And then on top of that, when Belichick gets his defense firing, it's unfair, really.
Yep, it really is.
Unfair.
It really is. The defense is playing good, and then when the offense kicks in, they're just unbeatable.
And again, you know, the Patriots model is we're not going to have one guy be the main star, except for Tom Brady.
Yep.
Because I can't tell you really who the standout person on the Patriots defense is right now.
Yeah.
It's not like they have a Khalil Mack or, you know, like I mentioned earlier, Nick Bosa or anything like that. There's no one focal point. There's no J.J. Watt.
Yeah, there's no one that pops right now as a, you know, defensive player of the year, that kind of thing.
Right.
They just have a scheme that works and works amazingly well. Like I said, play the bad teams, yes, but you still are playing NFL-level teams and you're holding them to no points. It's
exactly
impressive.
That's the difference. I mean, if you were giving up 30 points per game and, you know, having to score 40 yourself, then you're just like, all right, Patriots, you know, you guys are just getting by. But the fact that, you know, you're being dominant on offense and, you know, extremely dominant on defense. I almost feel like at the end of the year when they're doing the player of the year awards, the Defensive Player of the Year. You hear the names like Khalil Mack, J.J. Watt. You might just see Patriots defense.
Yeah, sure.
That's
good
it.
Good point. All right, so those are our top five, bottom five on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. If you want to chime in on that and what you think, what teams to worry missing, do we have somebody too high, too low? But we're going to get to the bottom five coming up next. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, one of every four batteries is going to fail this winter, so get yours tested for free during Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly is a Superstart battery for you. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. It is now time for bottom five. These are the worst teams in our list after 6 weeks of the National Football League. Number 28 on my list, little home cooking for me. That's where I put the Tennessee Titans. Marcus Mariota got benched in a shutout loss to the Denver Broncos. Now, I've said this many times about the NFL. It's really hard to get shut out because the way field goal kickers are, you should be able to get at least 3 points, right? But the Tennessee Titans didn't get any points against the Denver Broncos. Why couldn't they get a field goal? Maybe because they signed Cody Parkey, formerly of the Bears, who donked one off the one in the playoff games. Although it was tipped. Let's not forget that. Cairo Santos had missed four before in the loss to the Bills. They're 2-4. They're miserable. Mariota's been up and down. His offensive line is a sieve. He had been sacked 23 times going into the Bronco game, and he was sacked a couple of more. He hadn't thrown an interception, which was cool, until he threw two against the Broncos in the benching. They're just not a team that has any consistency right now. And it looks like Mariota's time in Nashville is coming to an end. Titans at 28.
I like it.
Thanks.
A 28 for me, because I felt that there are four worst teams, or four teams that I really just want to blast a little bit more than this squad. This is where I have the Bengals.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
True, the Bengals have yet to win a game. They've played some miserable games, but they looked somewhat decent on Sunday. So I'm giving them a pass, not because, you know, they looked somewhat decent, but because I felt there were four teams that are really terrible,
gotcha.
Really bad.
All right.
So I wanted to preface that, but the Bengals to me, you know, I feel like they are a player away or a play or two away in each game from getting their first win and making something happen.
And could that player be A.J. Green, who's still out?
It could be.
Thank you, Dayton, Ohio, for your field.
Yep.
However that worked out for you. Way to go, NFL.
I wonder if there's any Bengal fans in Dayton.
Yeah. Let's go to one of the original NFL fields and play and practice. A.J. Green's out, and the Bengals are winless.
Yeah, I had to put him at 28, and it's not because I think that they deserve to be at 28. It's just because there's four teams I'd rather pick on.
Yes, very much so. 29 on the list. I love picking on this team. The Atlanta Falcons going on the road to Arizona, losing to the Cardinals. By the way, the defense just letting Kyler Murray look like the real number one overall draft pick that we had projected that he was going to be. Atlanta's a mess right now. Defensively, they're not playing well. Look, Matt Ryan threw four touchdowns, and that's nice. All right, that's fine. But the fact is that this team shouldn't be in a position to lose games to Arizona when Matt Ryan throws four touchdown passes. It's not like Julio Jones is hurt. It's not like, you know, Devontae Freeman's is hurt, or whoever else is hurt. Calvin Ridley is hurt. They've got their weapons on offense. Why are they terrible? They're 1-5, and they don't look like they're going to be a team to be anywhere close to being decent. I'm very disappointed in the Falcons. Had not big things for them, but competitive things for them at the start of this season. Falcons at number 29.
At 29 for me, this is where I put the Titans.
Oh, okay.
You know what? I mean, I love Mariota. I think he's a great guy. I thought for sure he was going to make it in the NFL.
Me too.
I thought he was going to be that one product coming out of Oregon that could actually sustain and play well. In fact, I was so high on him that I was hoping that the Titans and Chargers did make that trade for Phillip Rivers for this number 2 overall pick.
Oh, wow.
When that draft came, because I was, you know, Phillip Rivers is getting old. He wants to go home. He's from Tennessee. Great. Perfect scenario. Bring Mariota to us. I love that idea from the get-go. It's kind of depressing now to see that, you know, we might start seeing the demise of Mariota and never really got anything for that number two pick.
Yeah, and it is too bad because he's had so many different offensive coordinators in his time here. He hasn't had consistent coaching. Ken Whisenhunt was the guy that drafted him. He's now on his third coach. It's too bad because he has never been in a consistent system. But on the flip side, as a professional football player, those are the cards that you get dealt, and you do have to deal with them. You do have to make the best of that because you are being paid to deal with it, and he hasn't been able to deal with it.
Yeah, and I mean, the Broncos are not a great team, and you made them look world class on Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. They looked really good.
That was my other issue.
Right. All right. 30, this is where I put the Redskins. I know it was a win against the Dolphins, but it is against the Dolphins. They're a mess. But, I mean, now they're under a new head coach. Let's see if they start playing a little bit better. I doubt it because they almost gave away a game to the Dolphins. But, again, Yahtzee dice with these guys, too. This is where I just put them at 30.
At number 30, this is where I put the Falcons. Listen, we've said it week after week after week. This team, Dan Quinn has got to get fired soon.
Oh, I think he's going to be heading out soon.
Cannot believe you just made a rookie quarterback look that fantastic.
He really needs to be evaluated here.
This is getting pathetic. Maybe Arthur Blank is just doing him a solid and said, hey, man, I'll let you finish out the season. I'd rather find a new coach at the end of the season instead of worrying about it midseason. But if this trend keeps happening, you run the risk of completely losing the locker room for there being animosity amongst players in the locker room that could be unrepairable.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely.
And that's a very serious thing because Dan Quinn, great defensive coordinator. He might become something similar to a Norv Turner.
But isn't this surprising, though, that the Falcons, I mean, last year's demise was really about injuries. They lost so many people.
But
and while they've had a few injuries,
now you're looking back going,
wait a minute, maybe it was the fact that they were not very good.
Yeah, maybe we were just making excuses, saying, oh, you know, you lost this guy in defense, you lost that guy in defense. What, they had like three or four major injuries to their main defensive players. You know what? I don't know what the excuse is this time.
Yeah, I mean, just... Yeah, no, I'm going to keep beating them up all season long until they finally start putting together something. 31 on my list, that's where I put the Bengals, still winless. It goes back to they did look decent in the beginning of the season, even though they had lost. And losing to Baltimore, again, on the road in Baltimore, there's no problem with that. But I don't think they're coached well. I think Zach Taylor's in above his head. And they still have a healthy Andy Dalton at quarterback. It still should be good for a squeak out win eventually. I mean, Andy Dalton is not a superstar quarterback, but he's not a schlub just filling time either. And yet just can't seem to catch a break. Can't seem to find a way to get a victory. Losing at home to Arizona earlier this season. I know they played some good teams, Seahawks, 49ers, and the Bills to open up the season. Those are three really good teams right now. But they just haven't shown me anything. I probably should have done what you did and kick them up a notch and not totally penalize them for being unbeaten at 0-6,
but they're unbeaten.
That's what they are. They have winless, I should say, at 0-6.
At number 31, this is where I had the Redskins. I don't care. You got to win. You know what? You and I talked about it on Monday. It was the best game for us on the week because both these teams were exactly terrible. I know who your bottom is.
Same thing here.
Dolphins, Redskins. I still feel that these two are interchangeable.
God, it still makes me laugh.
The Redskins won because the Dolphins can't call a two-point conversion play correctly.
A decent enough play that gives you a little bit of a fighting chance.
It's the only reason why the Redskins won.
The one play that you go, let's pick the one play that has zero chance of scoring.
Better off throwing the pass 5 yards back and saying, go for it, man. At least he would have had more room to run.
And remember, I don't think either one of us had Miami as the 32 team last week. I think we were really punishing the Redskins.
We had the Redskins.
Yeah.
So I had to move them up a notch because they got to win over. But they don't deserve to be any higher than that.
No, absolutely. That's our bottom five. Coming up, the good, the bad, and the dumb. It's a Tuesday, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.